Hey, it's Lina Escamilla, and you're watching the Business Accelerator Show. You're in the right place if you want to build and scale your business and also have a lot more freedom in your life. I'm very excited about today's guest because she's going to talk about a topic that we all need to know about, sales. So our guest today is a global business sales strategist, helping businesses owners double their profits without doubling their work. After selling more than $600 million working for a Fortune 500 company, she launched her own online business, teaching others to sell with ease, without the sleaze, and grew it from scratch to six figures in just 6 months. Amazing, amazing. She's on a mission to helping more female entrepreneurs become millionaires and achieve financial abundance. Welcome, Suzanne McVia. So excited to have you.
Thank you so much, Lena, for having me. I'm super excited to be here with you today.
And I love your mission. I love what you've achieved. I mean, you know, six figures in 6 months, it just blows my mind. That's amazing. So I would love for to hear that story from you, for our audience to get a little bit of a taste of how that came about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I always like to joke that it was six figures in 6 months, but really I had a long runway. I'm doing something very similar to my corporate career. I was in a corporate sales leadership role in sales and service, and that was almost 20 years. But my parents were entrepreneurs. They were business owners. So I kind of grew up at the knee of business, and I discounted all of that experience when I first started my online business. That happened. So I call myself an accidental entrepreneur. I can look back now and see all the signs from, you know, my first business, loaning money to my sisters, my allowance money when I was 7 years old, trying different things and having things not quite work out for me. So I stepped into a corporate environment, and that's where I thought the rest of my life was going to land. So when, you know, God took a hand and showed me with a massive health crisis that I was going through at the time, that wasn't the plan for me. I had to really pivot. I had to kind of recreate my identity. And that's when I stumbled into the online kind of coaching, consulting business space. And I realized, wow, here's an opportunity for me to live my life, honor my priorities, spend time with my family, most importantly, get my health back where I needed it to be. And so I didn't actually start my business with the intent to have a business, if you can believe. It was to help other people. And I saw that there was a gap in the marketplace around females, especially having them be comfortable in selling, having them be able to charge what they wanted and make a lot of money unapologetically and do it while they were helping others. And so in that pursuit of helping other people, it really quickly snowballed into that amount of success. But I like to joke and say, you know, it was a 20-year runway offline to get me that fast start now online and doing a lot of the same practices, just adapted for the online marketplace.
I love that, because sometimes like you're being prepared in ways that you didn't even know you were being prepared for. That resonates with me so much. This assimilates to my story of how I became a coach. I just started organically sharing my business advice with people. And then it just turned out that that's an actual, you know, amazing career. And I just packaged it. And so, yeah, but everything that I did before and like you did led up to this moment. So people watching us who maybe are struggling, you know, with what to do, what to sell, you know, you always have it in you. You just have to kind of connect the dots looking back. And that's Absolutely. Where the magic is, because, I mean, being able to reach the level of success you were in just 6 months, it's definitely because it was inside you. So it wasn't just a coincidence. So I love that story.
Thank you.
What attracted you to sales? So talk to us a little bit about that, because I know it's a little bit of a block for many business owners, many upcoming entrepreneurs. They struggle with it. They don't want to be, like you said, sleazy or too salesy. Tell us a little bit about that and what the other side of sales can look like.
Yeah, so for me, I did not accept that I was a sales expert, you know, even after having worked with thousands of clients and working with so many employees and teaching them how to be sales superstars. When I first started my business, I thought, and maybe you can relate, you know, maybe your audience can relate. I wanted to help everybody. I wanted to create an impact in the world. And so my thing was being a success coach. help you achieve success, whatever success is on your own terms, like all of these very generic terms and phrases that now I cringe at. And I tried it. That's how I started. That's how I started talking to people, and nobody responded. And so for me, I realized if I truly want to help people, I have to find the people that are already looking for help. And that's when sales popped up. And I realized that I'm not a natural born salesperson. I am a huge introvert. And I was kind of thrown into it. My parents had a business. I had worked alongside of them for a long time. But for me, being in business was about serving other people. It was about customer service and doing really, really well with your customers so that they keep coming back. And so when I first stumbled upon sales, I had all the same fears and reservations, right? The icky car salesman, like the buy, 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 buy. And you're just thinking, whoa. And that's why, you know, often to, even now when I go into a store and somebody approaches me, my natural instinct is to say, no, I'm okay. I'm just looking.
Just looking. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So they walk away. And there are times where I walk right up to somebody and I say, like, I need help. This is what I need. And if somebody's paying attention, they get the sale. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I realized that I have to go back and think, why are we selling? And how can I help people to sell in a way that really does feel good? Because I was seeing a lot of people in the online space, at least, that were teaching really underhanded tactics, things that were heavy, like a heavy approach that really didn't resonate with the people that I was connecting with at the time and am still as part of my audience. And so I thought, you know, I know how to do this in a way that is adaptable for our different personalities and behaviors and backgrounds and experiences, and do it in a way that allows people to still have that freedom of being themselves, but it gives them a framework of something that actually works, as opposed to this is the one way. You either do it or you're not going to be successful. And if you have to adapt it, I can't teach you that because I actually don't know how. So that was how it kind of came to be. And I realized that more and more people need to be able to sell, especially as a business owner, because it's typically the last thing that you're going to get rid of. It's the last thing that you're going to outsource or hire or delegate, because most of you, for me as well, people are buying because of me, because they have that connection with you as a business owner. And so you really want to make sure that you know how to sell and do it in a way that feels good for you.
I completely agree. And I love something that you touched upon, which was when you, at the beginning, you were focusing on kind of helping everybody and as many people as you could. And that is great. But as you said, when you talk to everyone, you end up, you know, nobody ends up listening. You end up talking to no one because they have different languages, they resonate with different people. And so you found your niche, you pivoted in time and found your niche. And that's just a great takeaway from scaling for you guys watching us. It's not about offering more and about offering everything. Sometimes it's, even though it's kind of counterintuitive, it's about offering less, but being, you know, an expert in your field and getting recognized for that. So I love how you were able to find that out really quickly and see, okay, maybe something here is not working. Maybe I should be more specific and focus on sales. Love that. And now being in sales, what do you find that people struggle with the most? I know there are a lot of people that have blocks around sales and struggle, you know, with one thing or another. What are those main objections or blocks, and how can we overcome them?
I think there's lots of objections, right? There's five main ones that people typically will go through. But I would say that the top three are probably going to be something around price, right? Like I can't afford it. It's too expensive. I don't have it in my budget right now. Something around time. You know, I'm just too busy. Now's not the right time. I have so many other things that I have on the go. And then usually the last one is asking for permission, having to check in with somebody else, whether it's a partner, a spouse, a trusted guide, a mentor of, you know, even your mom or dad, right? Depending on who is that person that's going to provide you with that guidance. And I find that oftentimes objections are coming about not because they are actually true, mm-hmm. but because you are not talking to the right people. And that's the biggest thing that I think, if you're able to get some super clear clarity around are you actually talking to the right people? And so, and this comes back to our fear of trying to help everyone, right? Where we're, if you're a servant leader, if you are led by your heart, which I know if you're on this this series with us, that you definitely are led to do good in the world, that can sometimes kind of bite you because you don't know how to say no. You don't know how to really discern who it is that you need to help. And a lot of mentors, a lot of gurus out there are also teaching where, like, it's sales is a volume game. Like, just crank through as many calls, as many people as you possibly can. Well, in theory, that works great. But what it ends up doing is you go through a heck of a lot of no's. Well, unless you're used to selling, that's going to feel terrible. Like, you're going to feel like, what is going on? I keep hearing all these no's. I'm going, and it feels like you're digging for a diamond. And yes, that can sometimes be true even when you're discerning, but at the very bare minimum, I always recommend to my students and clients that you need to pre-qualify. You need to be okay with saying, who is it that I actually want to work with that is ready to work with me? And just by doing that one thing alone, you're going to cut your objections like literally in half. And that means, yes, you'll talk to fewer people, but the quality of those people is going to go up. And you're going to enjoy them more. And so whether or not that person buys from you today, they're much more likely to buy from you at some point down the road because you've actually taken the time to make sure that you're talking to the right people in the first place. And that is like super important.
I completely agree around pre-qualifying. That is super important. And the difference between, yeah, like you said, some sales gurus teach you like get as many people as you can on the phone, get your friends, get your family. But if your family really is not interested about what you're selling, it doesn't really make sense. It's just going to result actually in not only a lot of no's, but those no's represent your time, money, energy, and resources being kind of depleted. If you're a beginner, I think that, okay, it can teach you around what not to do because it actually can teach you something, but then you just want to keep going on that loop of like talking to even, you know, your neighbor who is totally not interested in what you do. I completely agree on that because I see a lot of people missing that point and spending so much time where they could have actually allocated talking to the right people. And so that leads me to the next question, which is probably our audience is asking themselves, okay, how do I pre-qualify them then if I don't want to spend, you know, my time and resources in talking with people that are not interested? What would be a good, you know, thing to do to pre-qualify our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing that I want you to think about is, why are they going to be working with you? And I know that might sound like it's like, duh, but I'm going to tell you so many times I ask people why are they going to pay you money? And you actually can't articulate it. So if you can't articulate it, then how the heck is your ideal client going to articulate it? Because oftentimes we don't know what it is that we need as the solution. All we know is we feel a certain way, right? Like we feel ugly, we feel fat, we feel tired, we feel like we're overwhelmed or we're frustrated. So whatever is that description of that emotion for your people, sometimes you can't even understand what it is that's causing you to feel this way. And you, as the expert, you need to be able to explain it. So if you don't know why people are going to buy from you, guess what? You're not going to be able to get them to actually buy from you. Like, that's where you're going to be able to struggle when you actually have a sales conversation with somebody who potentially could be your ideal customer. And so here's what it comes back down to is the reason why people buy is because they have a problem. They have something that's going wrong in their life, in their relationships, in their business, and your health, whatever is your area of focus. And you have to be able to understand at a very, very deep level, what is that problem? Like, you have to know that problem better than they know it themselves. Because again, remember, they feel a certain way, but they don't always understand all the nitty-gritty details of what's going on in their life that is causing that problem to happen. They might be feeling symptoms of the pain, symptoms of the issue. So here's an analogy that might help explain. When you have a cold, now usually, because we're all adults, like we've had multiple colds, but think back when you're, you know, so I'm a mom, if you have kids, this is going to relate a little bit more, but I want you to think back, like the first time that you ever got a cold, did you even know what it was? Probably not, right? Like when your kids are going through and they have that first cold, all they can think about is, I'm miserable. I don't feel good. My head hurts. My tummy hurts. You know, I feel achy. I'm cold. So those are the symptoms. Those are the symptoms of what they're feeling, what's going on for them. But you know, as the expert, as the parent, or now somebody who's gone and had multiple colds, that as soon as those signs happen, you're like, oh, got to go take the medicine, got to go, you know, see the doctor, depending on the layers of how bad that problem is for you. And that's exactly what your ideal clients and customers are going through in terms of their process, right? They don't always know, especially if this is something that's fairly new for them, they might not even know that it is their version of a cold, whatever is that problem for you that you solve for them. So you have to know what it is. You have to understand what the symptoms are, but more importantly, you have to be able to describe both the symptom as well as like, I know the solution. You have a cold. Here's what I'm going to do to fix that for you. Because as soon as you put those pieces together, those are the people that are going to self-identify. You don't even have to do a ton of pre-qualifying. You just need to be able to articulate who it is that you're looking for and why it is that they need to work with you. And they will start putting up their hand and going, oh, that's me. That's me. Can you help me, please? Because imagine you have a cold, right? Like we've all been there where we're somebody, we're somewhere and something unexpected happens and we go, oh my gosh, is there a doctor in the house? Is there somebody who can help me with this? And when somebody goes, oh, that's me, the amount of relief that you feel because you know that somebody can help you. And that's essentially what you are to your ideal customer.
And in terms of kind of when you're selling a service, which is generally when you get into cold calling or when you jump on a call just to, you know, connect a little bit and learn more about the offer before actually purchasing, how can we qualify these people that want to jump on that call? So let's say we know they are kind of interested in our service, but we want to make sure, you know, they can maybe, like you said, the three objections, like maybe they're willing to pay the price, that they kind of have some authority to make the decision on their own. What would you suggest to have them to pre-qualify them a bit more if our audience wants to do that? So perhaps a form, are there any common practices that you suggest which would be ideal for that?
Absolutely. So I always recommend that you give them questions in advance. Now it's going to be up to you how many questions, but here's the thing. Every single question that you're asking somebody to answer is a micro commitment. And micro commitments are super important because they allow people to say yes to you in advance of you making the offer. So I want you to think for yourself, if I gave you a questionnaire and there were, you know, three questions on there, what would be the difference between that questionnaire versus one that had 12 questions? And the one with 12, by the time you finish that, you're more invested, right? You've committed more and more and more every single question that you've answered for me. And my questionnaire is I think it is about 10 or 12 questions. I've had a zero no-show rate on my sales calls, which I think is pretty unheard of based on what I've heard from, you know, colleagues and other members in the community. And it can be possible for you too. It has to be, you're really, really clear on who it is that you want to book the call in the first place. And then you help them to identify that they're in the right place because they're going to go through and answer those questions. And you can, for sure, you can ask, you know, what is the budget that you have for investing in your business? And you don't have to say a specific amount. You can give them a range. And depending on what types of offers that you have, it can allow you the opportunity to discuss other things that might be available for your customers when you actually hop on the phone with them. You can ask, you know, if you know that your program is pretty time intensive, let's be honest about that and just find out how much time do you have to commit to working with a mentor? Put that right in there. And you can also ask, you know, I want to be mindful of our time together. Is there anybody who's important in your life who would need to be part of this decision-making process? Yes or no? And there's an opportunity for you to, before the call, to even say, hey, would you like to invite this person to have this conversation with us jointly? You know, don't be afraid to ask and have that conversation and make an offer that's going to be best suited for not only you, but also ultimately the person that you're trying to serve and to help, because it will save you a lot of time in the long run. So that pre-call activity really, really will hold you to a higher regard and a higher quality, and people will thank you for it. That's what's happened with me, is people say, wow, like, this was really lengthy, but it allowed me to really understand the quality of work that I'm going to be involved with and working with you. And on the flip side, the other things that you can do is you can give people an opportunity once they've booked the call, you know, send them an email, send them information on what it is like to work with you. Send them to a page where you have testimonials or a video, like even a video of you welcoming them and saying, like, hey, Lena, I'm super excited to be chatting with you on the phone, in case we have never actually met and you haven't had an opportunity to learn a little bit more about me and how I work with my clients. Here's a little bit of more information, blah, 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 blah. Right? So a little bit of a warm intro. Level. Love yeah. It. Yeah. And personalize it and have fun with it. It doesn't have to be a huge production. It can simply be like you on your phone, like recording something and then just upload it to a page and just have it available for people, stick it in that email, and just make it really easy for people to understand what it would be like to work with you, so that you warm them up. But also it's about continually building a relationship, having a conversation, and thinking about your customer and what you would want, right? Because oftentimes what our customers would appreciate are things that we would appreciate as well. So think, if you are hiring you, what would you need? What would you want to hear? What would you be reassured to answer or provide to them in order to allow you to have a really good conversation when you actually get on the phone?
Great. So now we're at the step, well, let's say we pre-qualify them either through form, where we ask them a couple of questions and we make sure that it is a lead that is highly targeted for whatever we are offering and they're interested and we'll jump on the call. So once we do jump on the call, and let's say one of these common objections come up, what are your suggestions to handling these objections?
Well, the first thing is say it's okay. Right? Because oftentimes people feel bad when they say the objection, or they don't even realize that they've said it, like, I can't afford it. And they go, wait, I just said this out loud. It's not actually true, but now I don't know how to take this back. And I hope that she's just not going to say anything else and we're going to just end the call. Right. And I think as long as you take the time to really come from a place of understanding and caring and non-judgmental opinion, then you are going to open up some space to have honest communications, like honest conversations around, you know, tell me a little bit more about what that might look like for you, but always ask for permission. You know, Lena, I totally understand where you're coming from. I too remember when I wanted to invest in something and I really did not have the funds, or I thought I didn't have the funds available to me. Do you mind if I ask you a couple more questions and we might be able to dig into this a little bit more, see if I can help you with this? And so ask for that permission, whatever is that objection, and then don't be afraid to ask. Now ask the questions. Ask questions and be genuinely curious. Again, not from a place of trying to push them into the sale, but from really making sure that is it true what you just told me? Like, it, and again, so I have an entire process that I work with my clients and my students on, because if you actually ask questions in a very structured and linear fashion, you can avoid the objections at the end. So not having that ability to kind of walk you through that entire thing on the course of our conversation, what I would like you to know is, if you get to the point where you're hearing an objection, know that you're not alone. Know that it's completely okay. You want to reassure not only yourself, but ultimately the person that you're speaking with, and dig a little deeper, because the number one thing that will stop you from actually hearing a yes is yourself. And the reason why is because we get scared. We run and hide and go, oh my God, they said no. Well, no, they didn't necessarily say no. They said something that sounds like no, but they actually did not say no. And so there's still an opportunity. There's still an opportunity for you to dig in a little bit deeper, find out a little bit more information. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have something else that would actually be a better fit, but you need to understand where they're coming from first and really get to the root cause of why this objection has come up. Is there another fear? Do they not trust you? Do they not understand the program? Have you not explained it properly? Do they not actually get the value of the transformation that you're providing to them? Like, have you not explained something? And maybe they're just not a good fit, which is okay, but you're going to find that out if you dig a little bit deeper and you don't take the objection at face value and simply just back up and walk away and say, okay, thanks. And then, you know, click. That is the worst. That is the worst feeling for you, but also for the other person, because what if you could help them? What if you could help them? And all it takes is just maybe one or two additional questions to help them walk through that fear with you.
Is there anything we can do during the call or previous to the call or at any time that you suggest for being at increasing the motivation for our lead to actually buy or try to buy during the call, hopefully?
Yeah, absolutely. So the main thing that I would say, and this is where we often skip over, to be honest, because it makes both of us feel uncomfortable, is people buy. So the number one motivator for people to buy is to get rid of a problem, like to get out of pain, to remove something that's uncomfortable for them. And so if you actually don't figure out what that is together on the phone in that conversation, nobody's going to buy from you. And it feels uncomfortable because we don't often want to talk about things that are causing somebody hurt or challenge or frustration or overwhelm, like all those negative feelings that we had talked about earlier. Yeah. So usually you're like, oh, you have the problem. I know you have the problem because you've said one small tiny thing about it. And now I'm going to jump to how I can help you, why this is, you know, going to be so wonderful on the other side. Well, wait a second. If you don't spend enough time in the pain, if you don't spend enough time really making sure that this person actually like feels the pain. So if we go back to the story around the cold, let's face it, we've all been there, right? That moment where we go, oh, I'm going to have to go to the doctor because it's not getting any better, right? Like we try and wait it out. So you're trying to find the person where you are the doctor and they're at that point of, I can't do anything else. Like enough is enough. I've tried everything on my own, or even if they haven't tried everything on their own, they're at the point where they're just tired. They're tired of being stuck where they are, and they are looking for help. And until you actually spend enough time in that zone, which again, we don't like talking about stuff like this. And so that's where we sometimes will skip over it. And truly, if you do that, you will consistently hear more no's, you will consistently hear more objections, because you're actually not finding the people who are ready to work with you, who are actually ready to spend the time, you know, make the decision, make the commitment, and ultimately make the monetary investment that you're requiring them to take when they start working with you. So you need to spend that time. And if you do, that number one thing, because people hate being in pain, they will buy, because you're going to position it differently.
So the best you position and kind of show back the pain to them and how what you're offering is going to be the solution to take away that pain is going to kind of determine your success rate. So you have to Absolutely. Be very clear on that. That's the number one key. Love that takeaway. And then is there any other main recommendation you have for people who are struggling with sales or who are scared with sales or who are, like you said, like yourself, introverts are saying, I don't want to get on the phone, but should I? Is there one tip that you would want to give them?
Yeah, I would say that it's okay to say no. And I know that when you're struggling, especially when you're struggling to make sales, you're thinking like, Susan, how the heck can I say no when I need a customer, I need a client, I need money? Look, every time that you say yes to somebody who's not the right fit for you, you are essentially saying no to somebody else who could take that spot. And so I want you to have the confidence in knowing that the person who has the problem that you can solve, they're waiting for you. And the more confidence that you can have in knowing exactly what that is and making sure that you've applied some of the strategies and tactics that we've shared here, right? Like being very clear on who is that person, being super clear on what is the problem that is going to force them to actually buy and look for you, and then having the confidence in being able to say, no, you're not the right fit for me. I don't think you're ready, or I don't think I can solve this for you yet, or you need to go and do X, Y, Z first. Trust me, those people will become your raving fans, even if they don't buy from you. They will go out and share and spread the word and the message about what it is that you actually do, because you've been held in such a high level of integrity, and it opens the space and the door for better clients that are actually the ones that you're meant to serve. So as hard as it might be for you to hear this from me right now, you provide a solution for a very specific person, and it is your job to go out and find that person, not all the people, that person, because you're actually going to have the most fun with them. Because let's face it, you built this business in order to actually enjoy your life, right? Like, not to have another job, like a job where you're working with everybody and anybody like you did in corporate or anywhere else. And you're thinking, I don't want to work with these people, right? Like, we've all had those people on our roster where we go, oh, I really don't want to see this person today. Well, guess what? You don't have to. And yet so many times I see business owners that forget that. You forget that you are actually in charge. So I really want you to feel permission today that it's okay to say no to somebody that is not the perfect fit for you, knowing that somebody else is right around the corner.
I think that just puts, you know, the correct energy around your business as well, because you keep attracting those ideal clients. And if not, you can keep attracting non-ideal clients to you. Yes. So yeah, that is crucial in many senses and in many ways. And to help you guys get better on your sales game, Susan has an amazing free gift for you guys. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So my 6 figures in 6 months, you know, I shared very briefly my story, but I didn't go into a lot of detail around how that worked. And it's actually a very simple 3-step process. Although a lot of my students asked, they said, okay, well, if it's just these 3 steps, there must be a catch. And I said, well, actually, there is a little bit of a catch, because there's, you know, multi-layered pieces. And so I wanted to break it down. I revamped this special gift just for you guys. So you'll be the first to actually have access to outside of my own private community. And so you're going to learn all the different pieces that I implemented in the first 6 months of my business online that got me that success. So it maps out all the different layers so that you can see at a glance the mind map, for those of you that that like that style, and you'll be able to understand where you might be missing something and where you might be able to add something else in. But these tips that we shared here today, if you're already having these sales conversations, I really encourage you to take a look at your process and where you might be able to go back and revisit one of these main things that Lena and I shared today.
Great, Susan. And to close off, Susan is going to give you guys a challenge. So what we want you to do next is, after you finish watching the interview, you go ahead and click the button to download the free gift, which will be beside her interview. And then head over to the next button, which will leave you to our Facebook group, and answer the following challenge that Susan is going to leave for you.
Yes. Okay. So listen up. We have talked a lot about different ways to make sure that you're talking to the right person. And so my challenge for you is going to be around helping you to make sure that you are finding your dream clients, the ones that are actually going to buy from you. So here's the question that I want you to answer. What is the problem? Very specifically, what is the problem that you actually solve for your person? And I need you to describe it. The more specific, the better. And Lena and I are going to be hopping back into the Facebook group and providing you some feedback. So if this is an area that you're struggling with, then now's the time, right? We're going to be able to spend some time helping you really dig deep and make sure that you're super clear. Because remember what I had shared earlier, the clearer you can be on your problem, the faster you can find people who are going to buy from you.
Great. That's a great challenge. We'll see you guys over in the Facebook group right after this interview. Thank you, Susan. This was great. And I can't wait to see you guys take away those 6 figures in 6 months and tell us all about it. We'll hear you guys over in the Facebook group. Pop in there, answer the challenge, and leave any question. Me and Susan will be there replying back. See you guys in the next episode. Thank you so much, Susan. Have a great day, guys.